The topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4WN Radio.
Hello and welcome to Fearless Fabulous You. I am your host, Melanie Young, and I am so happy you're joining me today, listening live on the Women for Women Network. That's W4WN.com. And if you're joining me for the first time, welcome. I'm Melanie Young, host, certified health coach, and Sybaretic Sipper, who's traveling around the United States now with her husband, David Ransom. Enjoying life and interviewing fascinating people, including my guest today, who we had the honor of meeting in New Orleans, one of our favorite cities, potentially a home for us. We had a really good friend in the wine and spirits business took us to her champagne bar. It's called Effervescence Nola. It's a wonderful place with over 200 selections of champagne and sparkling wine. So if you really are into bubbles, you're going to love this show because that's what we're talking about. Champagne and sparkling wines, different kinds to try, where to find, great value, also great investment. And I'm going to start this show by one of my quotes that I made up today. When you're feeling uneasy and a little bit blue, the best way to dissolve your troubles is to open a bottle of bubbles. And I do that sometimes when I'm feeling the blues. Everybody does every so often. And there's nothing that sparkles me better up and out besides exercise, but a bottle of fizz. My other favorite quote, which I said at my wedding, is, "May all your love be true love and all your pain be champagne." Isn't that the truth? So that's what we're talking about today. Not just champagne, but different kinds of sparkling wine, because there's some amazing ones out there. I've written about this topic many, many times, and it's a fun one to discuss any time of the year because bubbles are for every day, not just special occasions. Let me tell you about my guest. She's born into a French and Italian family in Louisiana in the 1960s. We're talking about Crystal Coca Hines, who is the owner of Effervescence, www.nolabubbles.com. It's kind of interesting. This is, you know, a career she started later in life, and we're going to talk about that because everyone can start a career anytime we want. Yes. So first, let me welcome you, Crystal, to Fearless Fabulous You. Hello, is New Orleans? How is New Orleans today?
The sun is out. The rain has stopped finally. We've had quite a lot of rain, and it's beautiful today. Everyone's out walking on the street. So it's great.
Yeah. Let's just underscore that New Orleans has been open for business for a while, and it is a wonderful place to visit any time of the year. It may be hot in the summer, but it's pretty awesome. And when the days cool off and the nights are so lovely down there, I highly recommend it. So listen. Let's first talk about you. You were born in Louisiana, and you say your heritage is both French and Italian. So was sparkling wine a part of your family life? Tell us about your family life.
It was. I was born in Lake Charles. I didn't live there very long. My parents moved, but their family settled in Mooreville, Louisiana. It's kind of in northern Louisiana, near Marksville. And they were not a rich family. They weren't college educated. They were sharecroppers, actually, pretty poor, working other people's land. But no matter what they had, every family gets together. We always did the big pig roast out in the field and all of that when everybody came, the couchon de lait. But we always started with a bottle of bubbly. And I remember that from my smallest age. And then as I got older, when my family moved to New Orleans, and eventually I lived in Nashville for a while because my dad worked for the phone company, but we always started any family occasion, a birthday, a christening, a holiday, with a bottle of bubbles. And I just remember the sound of the cork and knew something special was going to happen. Now, we often did move on to red wine with dinner, but the celebration begun with that sound of the cork. And so in my head, that meant fun, family, get together, all that good stuff. I even remember my parents, when we would go to bed at night and my dad would have to work late, he'd bring home a pizza and I'd hear the sound of the cork. And my mom loved this wine, which it's hilarious because I would never drink it now. You might not even know what it is. It's called Cold Duck.
I know it.
and that, it didn't matter what you were drinking. It was the sound of the cork and like, this is going to be fun. This is going to be special. So that kind of was just ingrained in me. And so I always did that during our family growing up to start anything. You know, when my kids had anything special, a special birthday, a christening, an Easter, anything, even just a special dinner, we always started with the pop of the cork.
And, you know, I think it's kind of tender that your family came from very simple means. You said your family came from a sharecropper background, so actually you didn't have a lot of money. But you can still find time to celebrate. And I think it's really important on this show to let our listeners know that there is a sparkling wine for every budget and every palate. And you should be the judge of your own palate. I think that's super, super important. You should never let everyone else's opinions intimidate you. Crystal, I was at a talk last night. I'm in North Carolina right now, in a beautiful area in the mountains. And the talk started to go around wine. And I was with some older gentlemen. I was the only woman in the foursome. And they were doing I love it, the one-up on the red wines. The old one-up on the red wines. It's like, roll eye. And I interjected, well, I know you love Brunello, but I can tell you two other great value options to Brunello that nobody's talking about. So I think it's important to underscore that there is a sparkling wine for every palate and every budget and every occasion. You talk about special occasions, but we all know, and particularly what you're doing at Effervescence, we want people to enjoy every day.
And that is kind of why I like this place so much, because you know, champagne is wonderful and it's got its own unique value and taste and everything, but there's so many sparkling wines, like you said, around the world and every budget, that most people have never tasted, because it's very hard to taste good quality sparkling wine unless you buy the bottle. And at Effervescence, we let you taste it by the glass or half glass. So, you know, if you go to a restaurant and your husband wants something else to drink and you don't want to order a whole bottle of something you've never tasted from another country, right? So it's kind of intimidating. But over here, you can do that, you know, and most restaurants put something very common on their by the glass list.
Right.
Usually not that pricey. And if they do, it's something that one of the big houses, which are great, but you already recognize you've always tasted it. And that's the fun thing about Effervescence, is that we're not just about champagne. And we love to sell our champagne, but we also love to sell, you know, our sparkling Malbec or our Pet Nats or our, you know, sparkling Provence Rosé, which they hardly ever make, you know, at super reasonable prices. So it's really, really fun.
Well, I want to delve into that. But first, let's talk about when did you open Effervescence? What were you doing before you decided to open Effervescence? Because I love the fact you say in your bio that you picked up one of the first books you refer to is Champagne for Dummies, written by the great Ed McCarthy, a classic book. Yes. I love that. So what inspired you to do this? And what were you doing before?
Well, I went to college at LSU Nursing School to be a nurse. I kind of always had that caretaking hospitality gene. And then my husband and I got married when I was in college. We had our first child and she was very, very sick. Wasn't sure she was going to live. So I quit that job to take care of her. She did. She's doing quite well now, but has children of her own. But then I just really loved being a mom and staying at home. I'm sort of a perfectionist. And so I loved cooking meals, entertaining. I was the person everyone came to for birthday parties, graduations. Thus, the hospitality gene was in me already, and I didn't even really know it. So I did that for 20-something years. We had three children. Then they all grew up, and we lived in the suburbs, and my husband and I started going out more in the city in New Orleans to sports events, theater, and we were like, why are we living way out here? We want to be involved, you know, in more social life of the city. We traveled a lot. He was in insurance, and I was able to sample wines from all over the world and sparkling wine. And it wasn't until a trip with some friends that it hit me. We were in California and Sonoma, and I wanted to go to sparkling wine, see how they were made and all of this stuff. So we went to Schramsberg.
Oh, yeah.
And they have the best like example of how it's made. If you get to go to the cellar and do that tour, I tell everyone to go there. So clear and so easy. And a light bulb went off and it just clicked. And I got so fascinated with how it was made and the history behind it. And also the women behind it in Champagne and how they were the first women entrepreneurs of their day. And here I was at 50 something years old. My kids had left home. I wasn't sure what I really wanted to do with the creative part of my life. I was trying to find myself and it hit me. Gosh, I could do whatever I want. These people did whatever they didn't know when their husband right. died and their widow. They didn't know anything. They just jumped in there and learned. So that's when I went home and ordered Champagne for Dummies and said, I would love to open somewhere. We were looking at the French Quarter because we really wanted to try something different and smaller and downsize. So, you know, I think I had my LLC for a few years. I went to France, went to Champagne, had a couple visits before my son made me make a business plan. He's my business graduate. Good. And, you know, I had a lot of learning to do, a lot of mistakes along the way, and I still continue to do that. But it's been fun. It's really been exciting for me, and I'm loving it. But that book, the first book I bought, Champagne for Dummies, I also give to every new person I hire to read through it because it really simplifies bubbles from Champagne to Charmat method to everything. And it just gives, you know, my servers some keywords to use and some basic knowledge that they can talk to the guests about. And that's a big part of what we do here is we talk to the guests about wine in a very everyday way, you know, not a complicated way, as much as they want or as little as they want.
Exactly. And, you know, kudos to Ed McCarthy for writing such a wonderful user-friendly book again for our listeners. It's called Champagne for Dummies. It's been around for a while. It's a best-selling book. And I agree, one of the best for the basics. I mean, there are many, many great books about champagne. But, you know, you said something that I think is important and I want to dive in. Evervescence has over 200 selections of champagne and sparkling wines of all kind. I think it's important to start with the difference between, you mentioned champagne, the method traditionnel, method champenoise, or metodo classico, if it's in Italy, versus the Charmat method, which is the way other also good Italian wines, many Italian wines, but also French wines are made. But it's a very different process. And it reflects in many people go, why is champagne so expensive versus others? Well, it's a very long, multifaceted process, starting with the traditional method, right?
Right. Oh, it's very different. And then they have so many rules in champagne about when they can pick, how much they can pick, how to press, where to press, you know, just all kinds of stuff, how long it has to be aged. There's just, it's unbelievable when you start looking at all the rules for champagne. And there's very limited land in right. the boundaries that they've defined about champagne.
So well, exactly.
Makes it even more valuable. Yeah.
So basically, you know, when you make champagne, the you know, in both of the Charmat, Charmat, and method traditionnel, it starts with the ferment. You know, you pick the grapes, you source the grapes, you pick the grapes, and then you ferment the grapes. But with champagne, there's a secondary fermentation, so it's a double process, and that's very important in the traditional method. There's a secondary fermentation, and then there's a whole process where you have to turn the bottles and get the sediment
right.
down to the bottom, and the riddling, and then there is an aging requirement as well. The wines have to be aged a specific amount of time. It can only be called champagne when the grapes are sourced in the area called Champagne. And it has to follow this very specific process. Now, but it is also important to note that other really fine sparkling wines, not called Champagne because they're not from Champagne, do also right. follow the method traditionnel. Method Champenoise, globally it's called method traditionnel process. And the result, and I think you'll agree, is that the bubbles tend to be finer as compared to yes. Charmat, where it's one fermentation in a tank. And the bubbles, I think, and I find that with the Charmat method, the bubbles are fatter in my mouth versus.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
They're a little bigger. They're not as fine.
Yeah.
So and that's fine because mm-hmm. you can gulp that a whole lot easier.
Well, also, I mean,
exactly.
The Charmat method is also a less expensive, yes. faster way to get the bubbles to market. There's a term called carbonic. I'm not going to get into the technologies of carbonic maceration, but for example, Prosecco, which is not champagne, it's a very specific, also carefully guidelined process with a very specific grape called Glera. It is made in the carbonic maceration, you know, more the Sermat method. So very, very different. But it is important to understand that there's some very fine sparkling wines made in the method Champagne Traditionnel around the world. And I'm very impressed, Crystal, by your offering and selections. I was on NOLA Bubbles this morning perusing to see which ones I was familiar with. And I have to tell you, I was not familiar with a lot of the producers you spotlight, which means I'm madly in love with your place. Because it means that you can go taste and discover new people, right?
Right. I mean, and the only frustrating part is that, you know, we have to buy some distributors, and New Orleans is not New York or, you know, another big city, San Francisco, that gets maybe more options than we do. When I travel there, I'm like, oh, I want this, but I can't get it here because we're smaller. So anytime that I do get new bubbles, I buy through many distributors, all of them in New Orleans, not just one. I say, bring me every new bubble you have so I can taste it and see if we can find a spot. Because I want my guests to have that, you know, chance to taste these as well. It's kind of like taking a little trip. I consider effervescence, everyone asks me what it is, and it's changed kind of through the years. Originally, I kind of wanted it like an upscale lounge with small bites that you could turn into a restaurant. I feel like it's more of an experience now, you know, and my mission statement is about creating the magic in every day with fine food, dining, and service. And that's kind of what we do. It sounds a little like Disney World, creating the magic, but when you come in, we want this to be an experience. You know, we want you to ask questions, to try different things. You know, we always have flights and half flights. Our food pairs perfectly. It's local. It's organic. It's my chefs are amazing. I have two very acclaimed chefs that worked in San Francisco. They met at Restaurant August here, but Evan Ingram and Brenna Sanders. Mm-hmm. And they were at Quince, Saba, and Rich Table, who just two of them got their third Michelin star. So people are blown away by how good our food is and how great the pairings are. Because as I said in the beginning, my family used to open champagne in the beginning and usually moved to red wine. I now drink champagne through my entire meal and love
it. Absolutely. I agree with you. I agree with you. You know, one of my favorite things to do is, you know, I like to start, and this is, I guess, a lot of champagne terms. I like to start with a Blanc de Blanc, which is 100% Chardonnay, lighter style. Or I also like no dosage. Dosage is sweetness and it refers to sweetness. And so a Brut Nature or a no dosage means there's no sugar. Low dosage, which I happen to love because there's not a lot, you know, I like lower residual sugar champagnes, but something like that to start as an aperitif. And then as I progress through my meal, I like to go deeper and even, you know, a sparkling red wine or a rosé is really fabulous. Right.
In the winter, we did a sparkling red flight.
Oh, that's interesting.
Amazing. You know, so you could sip, people like red wine, sit by the fireplace. Most people have never tasted it. And if they have tasted the sparkling red, it's a Lambrusco from the grocery store that's kind of sweet, very sweet. We had a super dry, rustic Lambrusco that people fell in love with. And right now we have one in between called Nichia, and people are really liking it. But we don't have the red flight right now because it's too hot here.
Well, I actually think sparkling reds in the summer are awesome. And I feel that a good Lambrusco, we had Feeney on, the Feeney family. I don't know if it's available in New Orleans, but Lambrusco is a sparkling red designated wine from Emilia Romagna in the heart of the breadbasket, one of the great gastronomic areas of Italy. And yes, you can find very cheap Lambrusco at your supermarket, but some of the better... you have a Bertolani Rosso all'Antica.
Oh, yes.
Also a Secco. And then you have the Nitia. Both I would highly suggest. And those are kind of fun to have with barbecues and spicier foods.
That is true.
Yeah, I would have those with
Because they're chilled, too. You know,
right.
They are.
Yeah, so I think they're great for summer and a great surprise as well for many people. I think it's like, you know, some people like sangria, not me. I would rather have a Lambrusco, a really good Lambrusco. I think they're the fine of fines.
We have one on the by the glass. We do. We have the Nichia Lambrusco.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
I mean, that is like our newest flight, and I hate to be jumping off. I get so excited. And it is doing so well. It's called Over the Rainbow. And, you know, this is Pride Month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like as a tribute to Pride, but it's also our flight build in complexity and sweetness usually. So you start left to right. So it has its Gooseborn. It's an English sparkling wine, my very favorite. It tastes very much like champagne. English are producing some of the best sparkling wine right now because of global warming. I visited them about, right before the pandemic. I went to Gooseborn, saw the buds in the spring, went to Champagne the next day. They're exactly at the same level. Temperature is exactly the same. So we start with that, and then we move on to the Catena Alma Negra, which is a sparkling Malbec rosé, and then the Nicchia Lambrusco. So the colors are like the rainbow. You know, you have that light kind of white, golden, and then you move on to the pink, like light pink with the sparkling Lambrusco, and then the deep red. And it has been our most popular flight with that Lambrusco, and it is hot here. So you have a good point.
Yeah, I absolutely do. Now, I want to just jump because you mentioned and I want to talk about areas of the world that make wonderful sparkling wines outside of Champagne in France. First of all, in France, while there is Champagne, some of my favorite sparkling wines outside of the Champagne region are ones made in Alsace. Sparkling. You can get wonderful sparkling wines in the Loire, in Alsace, in Bordeaux. Clément is what they're called. Clément d'Alsace, Clément de Bordeaux. Really lovely. And often like $25 and under at the retail level.
Yeah.
So kind of an interesting thing. You mentioned England and sparkling wines, which is interesting because Champagne is a cool climate area and a lot of great sparkling wines come from cool climate, but they also come from warmer climates like California. Although Sonoma's probably got the better sparkling Carneros because of the cool breezes off of the Pacific. But England does have some very good sparkling wines. I have not been lucky you to go to that area. It's on our wish list because we've tried a few and they're quite good.
Yes. There's some fabulous ones. We had an English flight. That was one of my goals when we opened because I read a periodical called Glass of Bubbly that I read before we opened. It's online and just talks about sparkling wine around the world. And I had the opportunity to go to their bubble tasting in London. And it was super fun. And then after that, I went and visited Gooseborn. And it was fabulous because it's my favorite. I love Hattingley Valley's rosé, but we cannot get it in the U.S. anymore. But I had a friend who went and brought me back two bottles from England. That was my favorite rosé. So look for Hattingley Valley.
So when we can all travel to the UK again, try to look up some UK sparkling wines to bring back.
You are going to be just blown away. They're so good. They're on the same price range as champagne because it's the same exact process, same grape, all of that, you know. And I think one thing I failed to mention about champagne that I didn't realize either is besides the method it takes to make it and the small amount of land, they have to store that longer than a lot of other wines.
Exactly.
So the longer they store that, that's money, you know, that takes up space. And so that is, you know, also increases the price. You
like
know,
36 months, you know, an average of 3 years.
Yeah. And that's also, at the base level. Yeah,
yeah.
Some of them are 10 years, you know, so that's a whole nother thing where Prosecco, they don't really have to do that storage or some of the other wines.
Now, Prosecco is like bake and 30 days later, enjoy. Something that's important also to, we did not mention about Champagne, and it is very important, is that there's very specific permitted grapes. Champagne is usually a blend of grapes. So the blending process is also part of it. So they can blend from different vineyards to get the style. And it's Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Meunier. And it's usually been, so a Blanc de Blanc is 100% Chardonnay, a Blanc de Noir, we'll have Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier. And I've also had some very good 100% Pinot Meunier, they call Meunier champagnes as well. But there are different styles, but they always have those permitted grapes. Where you mentioned the Catena sparkling Malbec, outside of Champagne, you can make sparkling wine in the method traditionnel using native grapes. And you gave a great example with the Catena, wonderful producer, sparkling Malbec.
Yeah, we love it. It's super popular here too, especially red wine drinkers like it because they have a little tannin on it, so it's a little bit heavier. It's not as light, but it's not red wine. You know, it's a darker rosé.
Exactly.
But it goes really good with meat. It goes good with the main dish, and it's even just good by itself. It's fabulous.
Yeah, I want
and
to talk
at a
about
a more reasonable price point.
Yeah, well, and sometimes you'll find that with sparkling wines made elsewhere. I do want to bring up three regions of the world where they are only making sparkling wines of note and also of value. My first is going to be Cava. I used to work with wines from Spain. So I've tasted a lot of great Cava. Cava is in the Penedès, which is in the northeastern part of Spain, north of Barcelona. It is a predominantly a sparkling wine area, but there are also non-sparkling wines. But Cava is the official sparkling wine of Spain. And although you can get sparkling wines elsewhere in Spain, but it can only be Cava from this area and this DOC, I think a DOC, DOCG area. And it is quite good. You have some very good ones on the list. I want to point out that you can make Cava with other native grapes. One in the area is Trapat. And Macabeo, but you have one of my favorites on the list, Gramona, and it's a by the glass.
Yes.
That is fabulous one.
It is. It's really good. That is actually, there's a lot going on in the Cava region in the Penedès right now. It's been for the last few years because, you know, Cava incorporates everything made there. And some of the people or the winemakers that have been making it for a long time, like Reventos, my actual favorite, he was like the original person that went away and learned about sparkling wine and brought it back to that region. He wanted to separate himself from the other Cavas because he's got organic and he's got all these certain criteria to make his aging longer, you know, all of these other things. He wanted to separate it. So they kind of worked with the DOC for a while, and DOC tried to give them a way to do it. They didn't like it, so they kind of pulled back, and they call themselves, they're not in the DOC, Concha del Rio Anoia. It's where they live. That's what they call there. They don't have Cava written on the bottle. It's probably the best example of a Cava. You'll see it in Michelin star restaurants. They're all beautiful, really mineral. And then recently after that, some other growers, I think it was about six, pulled away, and they wanted to separate themselves as well. And they came up with the name Corpignier.
Right.
If you see on the list, it says Cava or not Cava. Because some are called Cava, and some on the list, the middle one is the Concha del Rio Anoia. And the last one that you love so much, they're calling themselves a Corpignier right now. That's not part of the DOC. It's separate. They cannot use Cava on the label. What does all this mean? It's an internal struggle right now, but they're trying to make their wines more noticeable. To all of us, it's all Cava, you know?
You're right. That happened like last year. The year before. It's very new, Corpignier.
Yes. And these are the first bottle. Gramona's the first bottle I have labeled with the Corpignier.
I see
Gramona
that.
Imperial. And it's beautiful. It is very well made. So if you want a Cava for like a special occasion, look for the Corpignier. There's about, I think now they have 12 members. In the group, you know,
continuing to evolve and really terrific. Yeah. But you can get Cavas for like 12 and under also at your supermarket.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, that are terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah,
I remember drinking them on the beach in Spain.
Yeah.
Cava and a couple glasses.
You know? One of my favorite, least expensive favorite ones is Ana de Cordero in the pink bottle. It's just lovely. It's a very simple one.
I don't even think I've seen that one.
It's Ana de Cordero, really great. They've done some stuff with some of my breast cancer events, obviously because of the pink. Lovely. And I also like Villa Conchi, which I used to work with the producers, the exporters at Villa Conchi. They had a rosé and a white, and it was like literally $8.99 retail at like a Total Wine or something like that. But just one of those, you know, you could pound it on a porch at the beach, but it was good. The other area that is exclusive to sparkling wine in the method traditional, or now we're going to Italy, Metodo Classico, is Franciacorta and also Trento DOC. Franciacortas are fabulous, and you have some very nice ones on your list. Tell us about them.
Yes. Well, I mean, I love the Franciacortas. They're very hard to tell the difference from champagne. They're made exactly the same way, aged the same way. But the only thing is they're almost the same price, you know? So some people will be like, oh, wow, I could get this Franciacorta, but I could get this champagne. And champagne still kind of has that, you know, it just has that feeling that it's the best to a lot of people. But I'm telling you, if you get the chance to try one. We have the Pisani Bagnadore Franciacorta Reserva 08. That's fabulous on our list. And but we honestly don't sell them unless very often, because if you're going to pay $120, most people are going to go to a champagne. They just do, unless specifically a Franciacorta lover. Yeah, you know?
Right. Well, they're trying to change it. The Francia Corta Consortium is trying really hard to promote that. And if you go to Italy, of course, you know, you drink what the locals drink and you'll be drinking Francia Corta. I don't see any Trento Doc sparkling wines on your list, but I have to do a little more digging. But Trento Doc, which is in the near the Alto Adige area, is also a sparkling one. You do?
I do have one. Yeah, the Matto Marchi Fruit Reserve 7 from Trento. Mm-hmm. Have you heard the Matto Marchi?
Yes, I have actually. And I missed that when I was scrolling through your website. Again, no
My menu is so big. It's under the Italy section. We break it down. So, but I do want to get some more because those are something I'm super interested in. It's just really hard to find them here. I've just put a couple feeders out a couple weeks ago. Does anyone have any more Trento Doc? Because I'd love to put that on a flight. I have not been able to get enough of that to put on a flight. So no one at Effervescence, we have never had one of those on our flights or by flight.
Well, I think you also have some sparkling wines from obviously Prosecco, the Veneto, but on the other side of the Veneto from Prosecco, which is north of Venice, that whole Collignano Valdobbiadene, on the other side toward Lake Garda, they're doing a lot to promote their sparkling wines of Lake Garda. We actually, David and I went on a press junket to learn about the sparkling wines of Lake Garda. They're trying really hard to create a consortium of some kind around that, but a lot of them sadly are not in available United States. Now I want to go to the United States because we can't ignore our own backyard, and you have a very nice selection. I commend you on your selection. You have, of course, from California, one of my favorites, which is from Domaine Cornero's La Reve. Wonderful. One of the great California sparkling wines, along with Schranzberg, Blanc de Noir, and Blanc de Blanc. Really great. And, of course, Iron Horse Wedding Cuvée. California is, many think of California as a hot climate, particularly because all you ever hear about in the news is fires and height and drought. But there are some very amazing cool climate areas that are, you know, more proximate to the ocean. And one of those is Sonoma, which is, you know, closer to the ocean than Napa, and also Carneros, which gets this great cross current. And that's where you can get some of the great California sparkling wines, right?
Right. I agree with you. I think Domaine Cornero's is probably my very favorite and so close to Champagne, you know, I mean, in taste, but not because it's got that little, you know, California that you can kind of taste the difference. But I would serve that at anything or drink that on any day. But,
Of course. And Eileen Crane, who retired last year, was the queen of sparkling wines. But of course, we also want to point out that Domaine Cornero's is owned by Tatanger. So the Tatanger family owns it. So of course, it's going to really have a commitment.
It's going to be fabulous.
And we're seeing there are a lot of French producers, not only sparkling wine, but also Burgundy, who are investing in the United States to create. And another example of that is not in California, but one of the great finds and a must try if you have the chance is the Gruet family that makes Gruet, which is in New Mexico. So the Gruets have a champagne house. They have a family champagne house in France, but they also brought their knowledge quite some time ago to Albuquerque area to produce sparkling wine in New Mexico.
Yeah, I visited them when I went to Santa Fe for my birthday a few years ago, visited the tasting room, and the caps that they have on their bottles, those are the ones I bought for Effervescence. They're made in Italy. They are the best caps ever. So if you want a good feeling cap, go to their website, Gruet, and order those flip caps. They're in black, white, and gold. They're fabulous. They will keep your sparkling wine for a long
time. That is an area, Dave and I want to visit. We've actually not interviewed the Grays for our other show, The Connected Table Live, where we interview a lot of famed growers and producers. And that is a really great one. You also, I have to again commend you, you have a sparkling wine from New York State, the Finger Lakes, where David and I spent 3 weeks in September 2020 after we sold our house. The Finger Lakes are one of the great wine regions of the United States in upstate New York. Cool, cool, cool climate. So really great for sparkling wine as well as Rieslings, which is really well known. Now, yours is Herman J. Weimer. We had them on our show. I should be pronouncing that correctly. We actually did show from there. And so they have a Cuvée Brut. Really terrific. And another one you don't have, but I highly recommend if you can get, It's the Dr. Constantine Frock sparkling wine.
Oh, I know. I've read about him. Yeah.
Fabulous.
I had to beg for this one. It's because I was like, I feel like everything in the United States is California. So really, really trying. There's other places you make great wine, you know, but getting them to New Orleans, we're not a huge wine market for that, you know, for bubble, you know, not many places carry those, you know, unique wines. So it's kind of been a fight. I'm ready to go travel and bring them back myself if I could and it was legal.
Well, those two are, I think, the best. In the Finger Lakes, although we had some lesser known ones that you'll never get down in New Orleans from like Domaine Le Sueur, which is a French couple that have a beautiful winery with very Burgundian style whites and reds and beautiful sparklings. And actually, he worked with Constantine Frank. Oh, it's a real fine, but they're very hard to get outside of the Finger Lakes. You know, the great thing is, if anyone's listening, yes, go to New Orleans and check out Effervescence to discover some wonderful sparkling wines. But get outside, and if you're traveling, look and see if anywhere you're going has a wine culture. David and I have been driving. We were in Virginia most recently, and they actually have some very nice sparkling wines in Virginia. King Estate is known for its sparkling wines. It's less known because it's better known for Cab Francs, but and Viognier and Chardonnay. But there are some formidable sparkling wines. We actually had an interesting sparkling Vidal Blanc, which is a hybrid grape white in Pennsylvania of all places, a place called Clover Hill. It was terrific.
I know. That's what's so much fun about traveling. I'm so glad we can start to do that again.
I know.
That all of these wines, they express the soil, the grapes of that area, the climate. It's so interesting. That's why I try to tell people what you like. I may not like what I like. You may not like. Just get out and try it. There's no right. There's no wrong. That's what's so fun about tasting a half a glass. You haven't lost much, you know?
Well, I like the fact you do flights, because flights really give you the chance to taste and try. And you know, I'm a big believer. Now, you have a nice selection, and I'm not as familiar with the wines of sparkling wines of Germany. And you actually have a Tokaj. I can't even pronounce it, but I'd love the Tokaj. I'd like to try those. I know that
that is one of my. I love the Kerry Ludvar. I think it's the one you're talking about.
Yes,
it's
Kerry Ludvar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's from Hungary. And it is amazing. It's called the Henley Brut Tokaj Pezco. And it's not crazy expensive. We sell it for $68. When people come in and somebody in there says, I don't want it too dry. We want a bottle. And the other person says, but I kind of like dry. This is the bottle I pull. This and the Lanson White Label. Those are just crowd pleasers when you want someone at the whole table. Almost everyone loves it. It's very well made. It has the taste of a champagne, but different. It's a little fruitier, but it's not sweet. And I have never had anybody not like those two when they have a table of mixed, you know, guests that want a little bit different. So it's fabulous.
True.
Definitely try. Next time you come, we'll open a bottle of the
Kerry Ludvar. I will. I mean, you know, I think it's important to note that, you know, you can get champagnes and sparkling wines from dry, no dosage at all, where there's no residual soup, bone dry. Actually, like, this is the thing for me. One of the hardest wines food pairings is artichokes. And
we do grilled artichoke.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I like a no dosage or brut nature, totally. No residual sugar, no or low dosage sparkling wine with artichoke, because sometimes the artichoke brings out an added sweetness to the wine that can be very unpleasant. So that's one of my favorite pairings, although others disagree and like to do a Gruner Veltliner or something, but that's one of my favorite things.
I would agree with you on that. I like the non-dosage. I found they have to be very good grapes and very good seasoned. They have to be very well made, you know, because some are just so austere and so...
Yeah.
Acidic. But the ones that are well made are fabulous. And who wants extra sugar anyway? But they're great. One that I found that I love, and it's not that expensive, that we have, you probably know about the Muscadet.
Yes.
From France.
Yes.
We have a sparkling Muscadet, the Claude Branger L'Eclipse. It is such a bargain. If anybody can find it at, like, you know, one of their wine stores, I call it my oyster wine.
But
super, super dry. If you want to start out with something like that with seafood or crab salad or crab claws or oysters, I always recommend that. And it's super reasonable. We sell it for $50. I'm sure it's probably 20, you know, around 20 something in the wine store, but it's really refreshing and easy to drink.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It is. And Loire makes some very nice sparkling wines. And you have, and it's what's interesting, you also have a Au Naturel section for anyone who's interested in learning more. The Loire is known for that and for the Pétillant wines, which I have a love-hate with Pétillant Natural wines personally. But I've done an article on it. But there was a lot of origins and history about them in the Loire. Some say it's an acquired taste. I find them for the price point that many of them are sold for at retail. Just give me a full blown, you know, sparkling wine that I like. But you have a really nice selection of them to try, including some when I come back. I want to try from Jura.
Yeah, I want to taste you on some because if it's some people, you know, the pet nets have been around for a long time.
A long time.
And that's another thing that to make a good pet net, you need a really perfect grape. You know,
yes.
Not always perfect. So the winemaker really takes a chance. It's kind of like Russian roulette. Am I going to be able to sell this batch or not? You know, if they're not good, they may not. But they have like a cult following right now.
Yeah, they do.
The labels are very much like graffiti. We keep them in our hallway and you can look at them. They're low so people can see them. The labels are beautiful. On every Sunday, we do 30% off all our pet nat or even naturals, not even pet nat, wine. So for a Sunday afternoon, you can come try a few. With 30% off, and you might like that because it's not quite as expensive. You can try something, you know. We have a hard time putting some of them on our flights because they don't keep as well.
No, they don't.
They're naturally resenty. So for a day, they're fine. But after that, you know, people want to see the bubble on most of them.
Well, that's a challenge with pet nat. Yeah. Some of them are really good. It's a catch as catch can, and they don't live long because, you know, pet nat basically because it's a natural wine, it doesn't have all the wonderful preservatives and things that stabilizers.
Don't but we have one called, and this is from Loire. It's very well made. Le Parcelle Pet Nat, Igni Rouge. It's a Chenin. And it's $60 in our menu. So on Sundays, that would be 30% off of that bottle. It is beautifully made.
And I love any kind of Chenin. No, Chenin is one of my favorite wines. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just absolutely beautiful. But we have people who come in here and say, give me your funkiest pet nat. You know, it might taste like a sour beer or strawberry cola. And they're fun. And the young people love to try them. And now we just got something new. I just brought two of them on. And I am going to do a flight called the Adventure Flight in a few weeks and put a pet nat. And it's called a, now I'm drawing a blank. It's what they used to make for the workers. Piquette.
Have
you ever heard of a Piquette?
Well, I do. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something funny about Piquette. It's also like having its moment. But you know what Piquette meant to France? It means crappy wine. I mean, when a French farmer would go, ugh, Piquette, it means crappy wine. It's like watered down wine, but it's having a moment.
It's like a White Claw, which I've never drank. But say you can drink a Piquette and have a Piquette. And drive a tractor. I go, oh, well, that's just what we need in New Orleans.
So if you like White Claw, you might like Piquette. Personally, it's not for me, but it has its moment. And as I said at the top of the show, there is something for everyone for every taste. I will never be a White Claw person myself, but boy, it is so popular. And, you know, I poo-pooed canned sparkling wines, but I've had a few, and they're great for the beach.
I agree. Like, I mean, we don't carry any here, but when you go to a festival where they don't allow glass or, you know, and you have to buy something there. There's a few that aren't bad, you know.
And Louisiana certainly knows its festivals. So their festival season is gearing up. So, you know, so just to underscore, a sparkling wine in a can is not bad, but like all wines can be well-made or not so well-made. So it all depends on the producer, the quality of the grapes, the care put into making the wine. And, you know, you and I both go for terroir, which means the wine sinks to where it is made and the climate and the soil and all the wonderful things that get into it. My personal other favorite, going back to champagne, I love grower champagnes because
I'm so glad you're talking about them. Me too.
Yeah, I wanted to do that. Yeah. I mean, give us some examples. I mean, so for our listeners, a grower champagne means the grower because sometimes grapes are produced and then sourced by the major champagne houses. In fact, many of the estate champagnes who you may love, like Tattinger, Veuve Clicquot, or Bollinger, the reason they're champagnes are so wonderful is they're wonderfully consistent. And they do that by sourcing from loyal, very carefully selected growers to get the kind of grapes they want to blend and make their style of champagne. Their grower champagne means that the grower grows his or her own grapes. There's a lot of hers in that area. And they produce their own champagne from the grapes they grow on their in their own area. Sometimes they don't have facilities on site, and they may go to a cooperative to use the facilities. But the grower basically is a grower champagne is often family owned and can change from time to time because it really depends on the harvest, right?
Right. So it's very much like any other wine where the grower wants to express his terroir. Right. You know, his land, the way the sun shines, the water, the way they grow it. Most of them are moving toward biodynamic, if not already. That some of them plow by horse. You know, they do all kinds of special things to make the best wine they possibly can to express the soil in that year.
Right.
Very different idea than the big houses or the maisons that want to every year express the same taste. So you know what you're getting when you buy Veuve Clicquot, or you know what you're getting when you buy, you know, one of the other big
Bollinger
houses,
right?
Yeah, Bollinger or any of those. But it's two different styles totally. And there are sometimes when you have a group of people coming and you want to know what your wine, you know, you absolutely want to know what it tastes like with your dinner. You want a big house, you know, that's just what you want. So we have that. There are other times that you want to try something different and find something new that you love and, you know, taste it. But you may taste one of these growers one year, and that, you know, like the Paul Bear is one of my favorites from Boozy, and it may taste totally different the next year.
Exactly.
You know, so, but it'd still be fabulous because they're fabulous growers. And a matter of fact, we just did our first ever, I don't know if you saw this, but our special club dinner. My manager and I, who just left Edouard, he was from Champaign, France. He went back to Virginia because his wife graduated from Tulane Law School. But he's been a big asset to us, bringing his knowledge of champagne for the last 3 years. Our goal was to have a special club dinner pairing. And we finally got, it's taken me 4 years, we've been open 4 years, enough special club bottles to do a dinner for 25 people.
Oh, wow.
And it was fabulous. And the special club, I don't know how many people know, but it's in Champaign. It's a club of growers that got together, and I think it's grown to maybe 25 or something now, but they submit bottles to the panel that's made up of them, and they do two blind tastings, a still wine and after it's done, the sparkling, and they decide who gets the special club that year. You don't have to submit one every year, whenever, and it meets all these rigorous, you know, things that you have to check off the box that they meet. They're the best wines of the best in Champagne of the growers, and then they put them in a special bottle. It's a little fatter on the bottom, and they're called special clubs, and they are all super, super special. Talking about Pinot Meunier, my favorite one is the Mousse et Fils Feast Special Club. It's 100% Meunier. It is fabulous. It was so much fun. So
I think those are so much fun to try. And I've had a few of the club ones, and they're really special. And the stories of the families are usually quite unique as well. So let's tell everybody. Exactly. So let's tell everybody where Effervescence is, because we're coming to the end of the show, and where to learn more.
Okay. So Effervescence is located on the edge of the French Quarter in New Orleans. We're not far from Armstrong Park. We're on the quarter side. We're next door to WWL-TV, the corner of Ursuline and North Rampart. We were the sound and recording studio for the TV station before I did a historic tax renovation. And now it's like an upscale, big, open 1890s center hall cottage. It's kind of modern with a cute little hidden courtyard in the back with a fountain.
Oh, I haven't seen the hidden courtyard. I'll have to come back and see that.
Oh, it's so cute.
It is a beautiful place. It really is.
You can look online at nolabubbles.com. We have plenty of pictures. We try to keep our list current and our menu. Right now, of course, like everybody, we're short-staffed. We always keep a small staff. We're only seven. We usually keep about
Hiring. You're hiring if anyone's
looking. We are hiring, and we've hired a couple of new people, but so we're only open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday right now. We do a set brunch every Sunday. It's online. This weekend, it's salmon, house-smoked salmon in Lock Keys. It's fabulous for $28 with a few other things with it. And then you can just order from the Vice menu. It changes. It's listed online. You can make a dinner from the Vice menu, or you can just have some bites.
Well, you're making me hungry right now. I can't wait to come down. And listen, if I don't have work, I'll apply to work with you. Crystal, we'll be down there in about a month or so. So, and it's been such a pleasure. If you want to hear this show again, all my shows are permanently on iHeart, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast platform. Please share with your friends and please enjoy life and enjoy your bubbles. Life is too short to drink bad wine. Drink great wine with a great attitude with great friends. And visit www.nolabubbles.com and visit New Orleans. Come visit. We'll be down there soon. Crystal, thank you so much for joining me on Fearless Fabulous You.
So much fun. I can't wait to taste with you again.
You can't either.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.